You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios, this is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. Yeah. Jim slept in.
Sorry we're late.
It's all Jim's fault.
I was first one here, just for the record.
He was folding his linen.
I got to get to work. I just lost time. I was having such enjoyment. Oh, I like this color. Do I like this color more? So anyway, here we are.
Yes. Hello, Todd.
Good morning.
Good morning, Todd.
Good to see you.
I know.
Hi, everybody. Todd. Everything you heard over the last hour, forget.
Right. That was yesterday.
That was a warm-up.
Right.
Although I got to tell you, we had our guest on, Do It For Daniel, right?
Yeah.
We played that again.
Okay.
We got some really nice texts on that this
Good.
Morning.
Excellent.
Yeah, so
All
we
right.
got another an extra message out on that.
All
so,
right.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
But this 7 o'clock start time's...
I kind of like it.
Take that into consideration.
Don't even start with me.
I'm telling you, Todd.
Don't even start
back
with
to the
me.
2 hour show.
I don't know. I'm okay.
Yeah.
Dr. Ruta's here. He was actually here early, made coffee for us.
Thank God.
Yeah. Doctors,
because they can't make their own. So.
Yeah, well, that is true.
It was easy to pick up.
Hey, Todd, I didn't tell you something yesterday.
Yeah.
When I was making my coffee and Jim walks by, you know what he said to me?
What did
you say to me, Jim? Shouldn't you have a cup? Under there?
Oh, yeah. Just let me tell you, Dr. Ruta, we'll hear you from you in a second. A couple stories about John. You're like, remember the absent-minded professor, Mr. Magoo, that whole genre? Okay. Johnny and I had to go, it's called
Feed Our Starving Children.
CPR, it's an awesome organization. You guys probably have done that. But you get teams of four, and you pour, like, it's powder. One's different forms, and you pour it into a funnel, and then it goes into a bag. You seal the bag, and that actually becomes a meal. And they ship it. It really doesn't. It's
mainly
not
Africa.
It's not domestic. Really, mostly goes to Africa and India, which is very, very cool. It's a great program. Anyway, so John and I are there, and okay, let's get going. So Johnny's pouring the stuff in, and then the other one, and it's all going on the floor because there's no bag under that. I said, John, but bag. So that's the analogy to yesterday. He's making coffee, and he's got the thing on there. Whatever that cured thing is, and. I walk by, I'm like, would you want to put a cup under that thing? Because it would be all kind of flush.
So this is anyway, at least twice. This is happening
at least twice.
This is the receptacle is key.
I spend as little time with him as I can. That's just two things. So I don't know what goes on the other, you know.
It's chaos.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Dr. David Ruta, Bell and Sports Medicine in the house.
How are you?
I'm wonderful.
It's
How
nice
are you?
To meet you. You guys are getting younger and younger.
Oh, thank you.
Because we're not getting older and older.
No, that's right.
I showed him a picture for my class reunion, had another little get together for planning it this year.
They look like the lunch lady. Johnny's class is getting old. And
it happens to the best of us.
Yeah, I guess. But I know I think they're winning the race. Holy mackerel. And with the aging a little bit comes that class probably weighs a ton more than it did, you know, back in whatever, 678.
Well, you and I talked about that yesterday from even when we were first married till now. How much did we put on?
I have my 35th wedding anniversary coming up this weekend.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, things are obviously much, much better, you know, but a little heavier.
that's the direction it goes.
I know. I don't know if I ever get back there, but we were talking about what they put up with, you know, and weight is one of them. So anyway, we're working on it.
So, okay, foot and ankle.
Yes, sir.
I've got foot and ankle issues, but I'm not even going to get into that.
Did they warn you that you're going to be making a doctor's call here?
Are you out of this boot? Are you out of the boot?
Yes.
Good.
I still got it on my sitting there ready to go whenever I need it. You got to put a disclaimer at that. Don't try to drive if you got that on your right foot.
This is true. That is very good
Do
advice.
Most people know that?
Common sense, okay. Huh, Doc?
Maybe. I usually give people a spiel, you know?
Okay.
When it's you either drive with your left foot, you take it off, you put on a shoe. It is a broad device.
It is. That's the problem.
It's a hazard.
You
a
can't
hazard.
Have it. It's no matter where you have it, it's touching the gas and the brake.
That's right.
Yeah. And I got mine wedged in between the two.
I remember.
Yeah. So I was going 75 with my brakes on.
Yeah.
So
how'd that go?
Not great.
Not great.
Because okay. I stepped out and it's like, boy, this town smells of something burning. And I realized this is my brakes.
Yeah. Traditionally, you push one of those at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how that goes.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And it's not like the boot grows. When you get in, you know it. So why would you even put it in drive?
I don't know, Jim.
Efficiency.
Thank you, Doc.
He has places to be. He's being efficient.
All Thank right, you.
There's nothing right, wrong right, with that.
Right. You know so, what? I had in high school, okay, a really bad sprained ankle. You get these guys now in professional athlete sprain, and people say, oh, come on. It's a sprained ankle. How can that keep them out 2 or 3 days? The term sprained ankle doesn't do the injury justice sometimes. Does
totally
it?
Agree. Yeah. Okay. Totally agree.
Can you expound?
Because
I've talked to other people about that.
Yes.
Where they're like, oh, I've had sick. No, sprained ankles.
Yeah.
And can you do me a favor? Because we've used this, or the media uses this term all the time, and I don't know what it means. I'm not sure anybody knows what it means other than the people that do it. A high ankle sprain.
Yeah.
Which puts people on the bench for like a month. What is a high? Because in my era, did you ever hear the term high ankle sprain, Jim? Back in our day, you know,
yeah,
in sports.
Just
a sprain.
Yeah.
So what is a high ankle sprain?
So to answer that question, quick comment on ankle sprain.
Yeah.
So people, that is an overly used term.
Yes.
Everyone, it's widely undertreated. It's the most common sports injury. Most common, ankle sprain.
Right.
Significantly undertreated. People go, oh, it's no big deal. Put some dirt on it. Here's an ace bandage. That is not true. Commonly, it is a complete tearing of ligaments. What we call an ankle sprain is a low ankle sprain in actuality. A high ankle sprain is above the ankle. If you look at an x-ray, there's two bones in our leg, tibia and fibula. Right. There's a bunch of stuff in between them. It is not air. There's a bunch of ligaments. A high ankle sprain is a tearing of those ligaments.
I never knew that.
So it's a high, so people grab their shin. People kind of grab right below their knee. And so it is an injury that is above the ankle. People will get a little device between their bones called a tightrope. You'll hear people say, oh, he had a high ankle sprain. He got the tightrope surgery. And that is a treatment of all of those ligaments above the ankle. Syndesmosis.
Wow, it's actually torn ligaments.
Is that what you do? I mean, you're a specialist.
Yes. Okay, yes, sir.
I mean, Bellin does everything.
Yeah.
You're in the sports medicine over by Lambeau Field.
Yes,
you're
that's
a specialist.
Where we are. Yes, right? We all are. Yeah.
Everybody in there is a specialist.
Everyone there is fellowship trained subspecialty orthopedics.
And really, the most common is it, you say it's the most common injury. Is it the most common thing you see?
No.
Okay.
No, it's the most common sports injury.
Right. A sprained ankle.
It's a sprained ankle. There are various degrees.
Right.
There are mild, by definition. So if you get an MRI after a sprained ankle, it is not normal. Like it is an injury to your ligaments. It's a mild sprain. It's a tearing or it's a greater tear or it's a full tear. Those are the grades of an ankle sprain.
I never knew that.
And so people.
And that's why people are, oh, what a wuss he is.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. But
wow.
If it's a severe sprain. Lots of literature says that you can be back to high-intensity sports with an ankle brace. Like 3 weeks, it'll sometimes be.
Oh, yeah. Dude, does taping really help?
Yeah, ultimately, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it provides a little external support when you are still recovering.
Okay.
Yeah.
You guys have throttled back a little bit on the pain medication.
Yeah.
I mean, and that for the
Pulled
whole industry.
Back on it?
No, throttled back. Like, you don't give it out like you used to.
Yes.
Okay, and just talk about, because that became... very serious addiction actually led to heroin with some people. When you took the opiates away, they still needed something, and that caused more problems. I'm just wondering what your comment is. I mean, you're a young doctor, but I think back in the day, they gave it out a lot more liberal than you do.
And I saw a thing with Brett Favre very recently doing a thing on a podcast with people, and he said it was his ankle sprain.
That started
one time
the whole
that
thing?
Started.
Huh?
And he took, I think it was Vike or whatever it was, okay? He took it. I think he says in the thing, you can look it up. I think he said he took it one time for the pain and every other time for the pleasure.
So, yeah. So, as you noted, there has been a lot more research. Research in multimodal pain management has exploded. And so there is a lot of research to show that it is good for people to do pain medications of different modalities. And so this strong anti-inflammatory plus this nerve medicine plus this opioid and... you take it for a short amount of time in the immediately post-injury, post-surgery period, and then you go to other pain medications. And that is, we do blocks around surgeries, and the goal is to minimize opioids. You decrease their side effects. You still give people excellent pain relief. So it is, pain management is much different than it used to
be. And you know what's funny is too, because even when I had a root canal, about a couple of months ago, and, you know, they always used to be, you go to the dentist, you know, get Percocet or whatever. And none of that. It's like three Tylenol and two Advil or So, and I always thought, well, what, the worst thing you can do is mix medicines. You can't do that. But that's the way they do it now,
that's
correct?
Right. Yeah, multimodal. That's right. Yeah.
All right. So you got to be one of the younger doctors there.
You know what? I don't think I am, but I love that you say that. I'll take that to the bank any day.
Whatever. But I want to talk about your education.
Dr. Green looks younger.
People.
Do you know Dr. Green? Is it Dr. Green?
No.
Which one? Who's Dr. Green? At Titletown?
Yeah.
We got Shepard. He's a sports guy. Lichty.
He's a chiropractor. He's married to
Kevin Borsky. Doctors, chiropractors. These guys, are you kidding me?
No.
Don't call him.
Is it Green? Okay, I'll think. Okay,
if it's a chiropractor. All right,
get back to me.
I just want to talk to you a little bit about your background, because that's a long road to become who you are. Fellowship trained.
Yes.
Does everyone go through that, or is that something special for you? What does that mean to like us consumers?
Fellowship trained. So fellowship is optional. So to be a practicing physician, you go to college, then you go to 4 years of medical school. After medical school, you are a doctor. You're called doctor now. You're not able to independently treat patients. To do that, you have to go to residency. Residency is long and hard, and it's
like Hell Week.
Except half decade.
Three. I know. That's what I was going to say.
Exactly.
Boy, they work, you guys. Oh,
and then
God.
Following that, you know, that's like Grey's Anatomy and all that. Those are residents. And then following that, you can be done. You are an independent practicing physician. You can do 1 year in orthopedics. It's 1 year of subspecialty training. That is what fellowship is. It's optional. Orthopedics has exploded. Many medical fields have exploded. It is hard to keep up with the innovations and the different techniques and instrumentation and research. You kind of can't be good at every single thing. Right. And so at this point now, 90% of orthopedic graduates do a fellowship. And that makes you subspecialty trained in your field. And so Belen hires only subspecialty trained orthopedic surgeons. So it gives you a bit of confidence. If whoever you're talking to there, they are going to know what they're talking about. Yeah. I love that.
You don't know him though? Oh, I thought he worked for you guys.
John's showing him pictures, which is great for our listeners.
It's great.
It's great. Yeah, yeah.
This is great radio.
That looks like a friendly gentleman that I don't personally know.
Oh, okay. He must. Okay, never mind.
No.
That's from the draft that you guys hosted.
Yeah. I noticed the environment.
This is a chiropractor.
That was really good radio.
That was great radio.
Todd, how you doing,
buddy?
So, Todd, okay. So, Todd, you were supposed to have an MRI today, correct?
Yeah.
On your ankle?
Knee. Yep.
The other ankle.
Yeah. the other ankle.
That's any questions for our doctor?
No, none
sure?
at all. I'm good. I'm good. Thank you.
The equipment that you have over at Titletown that Belen runs, that's state of the art. I mean, we're so lucky to have that in Green Bay, right? I mean, we're a decent sized city, but man, you guys.
I love it. That's a big reason that I'm there. Right. So huge investment. So they expect, I do mean this genuinely, they expect excellence. Like if you are one of the orthopedic surgeons there, you are expected to be excellent. With that, a lot of resources are sort of entrusted to you, like these facilities, the imaging facilities, the rehabilitation facilities.
Right.
And so it is state of the art. The imaging is excellent. The rehab upstairs is excellent.
That I want to talk, because that's what we talked to Mark about right after because I had never seen that before. And with what you talk about, the difference in maybe 20 years or 10 years or whatever, where these athletes or anybody, when they're in the rehab, you videotape so much to see if they're doing the techniques right and everything. And that's amazing what you guys have upstairs there, isn't it?
It's amazing. There's a basketball court. There's turf. There is the multi-directional cameras that you're talking about, the force plate that you step on.
It's amazing.
I want to talk to you. Sid, that's why I'm here. I want to know how we got you here. And you don't have to disclose your salary. I can tell by your dress that it's very well. You're compensated.
Well, why would you ask that? Your daughter's a doctor.
I don't care about her salary. There had to be more than that, because you could have made the same amount anywhere. Why did he choose
Green
Bay?
Not radio. Dr. David Ruta, Belen Sports Medicine in the house. Back after this.
Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along?
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Where it began.
Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here in a good-looking morning. It's only 42. You know, it's so funny. But if you don't have, in downtown Green Bay, and I'm sure Oshkosh especially, if you don't have a wind, it could be a very nice day at 40 degrees, or it could be a real crappy day the other day where it was 50 and that wind was coming from the northeast.
Temperatures are up just a little bit, 45 degrees right now.
Nice.
Yep. However, what besides the wind, it's is the sun out or not?
That helps.
If the sun's out, it's like, oh, it's a beautiful day. No, it's still cold, but it's...
Dr. David Ruda, go ahead. Bell and Sports Medicine.
This, and I talk all the time about how fortunate we are to live in Green Bay with our healthcare systems. I mean, all three of you guys are doing good job. We also have, besides the equipment and, you know, fishing and the other reasons some of you guys come here, what was it? I mean, you probably could have gone a lot of places, is my guess, because most of you doctors can.
Yeah, so the reason that I am here, quite honestly, so I love this city. I love it. It's everything that I hoped it would be. My wife loves it. The thing that initially drew me here was the position, was working for Bellin. That it is, in short, it's kind of the culture. And so there is the expectation, and then there's the delivery. The expectation, like I said a moment ago, the expectation really is excellence. And so everyone there, like, you're expected to be very good. You're expected to know your stuff. With that, they give you resources to say, you have a high work ethic and you have a high standard. Use these high quality, this high quality machinery to help these people. So that is not present everywhere. You're not always entrusted with that. That is huge for surgeons who value that.
As business gets more competitive, and you want to get the best employees, because that's really, that is, besides the equipment and everything.
You bet.
And I just interviewed our mayor yesterday about a show that I have coming up. But the Packers did a good job when they remodeled their facility, and people came in and were like, well, this is awesome. And municipalities need to do that, like a better police station, you know, because people want to come, workout rooms, that kind of stuff. So I'm glad Bellin, I mean, they're pretty smart what they did. Not only did they get you good equipment, but you talked about the culture.
Absolutely.
To attract some of your buddies.
Absolutely. So it is, like I said, the culture of excellence, and then the delivery is, if you have an urgent problem, it's going to be taken care of. And that is not, it's not just for athletes. It is across the street from Lambeau. So there's a strong relationship with athleticism. I get that. That is true. We are good at athletes. That is true. However, we take care of a whole lot of non-athletes there. There's the walk-in clinic there. You have a problem, you literally walk in. It is called a walk-in clinic. Yeah. There's no appointment. You just walk in. If you need to see a doc, you will be seen. If not, if you just need some initial rehabilitation, you get that. Wow. And so people, we are involved with high schools locally. And so it is this culture of high standards. The physical therapy, they are awesome. They are an academic. The physical therapists are academic there, which means that they're part of a training program. Wow. You have to be pretty good to do that. You can't kind of fudge your discipline and then be a training institution. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they're gentle on the patient, which is nice, but they're very hard on themselves. And so if you send your post-operative patients to the physical therapist there, they're just top-notch.
I gotta ask one question. When you talk about the foot, we're talking ankles, but foot, I would think that's gotta be a hard one, because I've known so many athletes, and just going back to the athletic part, where they'll break something in their foot and they do whatever they can, and then it'll break again. Or their foot injuries are tough. I mean, it's ended careers on what people would think it would be a seemingly minor injury.
Totally agree. So the reason for that is it's hard to compensate. So if you've got a little something with your shoulder, you move your elbow differently. If you've got a little something with your elbow, you move your shoulder differently. If you've got a problem with your foot, it is hard to compensate.
Right.
You walk different.
Yeah.
And athletes are extremely high-performing people. They just do stuff just a little differently, and then they get new injuries.
Todd, Dr. Ruda brought in some pictures of his work.
His surgery.
Yeah. His surgery. Yeah. It's like when you're, it's like showing somebody you're dunking a ball, like he's real proud of this stuff. Kind of gross.
I want to come see it.
It's amazing.
See the size of these metal screws that he used.
I'm coming in to see it.
It's amazing. He has a picture of him rehabbing an ankle and a knee, right? Or what is it?
Ankle replacement, ankle fracture, lots of broken bones. And these are just, for the listeners, these are all x-rays. This could not be more HIPAA compliant.
Another good radio, but this is just amazing what you do.
The metal in that.
Right.
Yeah. It's healing. That's visible healing is what that is.
Do you guys use an actual drill? I mean, just a regular...
Yes.
DeWalt drill?
Yeah, and so you use a drill, and then you tap. Sometimes you have to tap. Sometimes there are self-tapping screws in that they make their own threads. And then you put in screws with
threads.
That
screw looks like it's from a hardware store.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, doesn't... That's a screw.
That is a screw. Yeah, some of them are headless. Some of them are partially threaded and fully threaded.
He says, like, they stay in. He says, like, putting rebar in.
They typically do. So many of these implants can come out if they're bothersome, but they do not have to. Once the bone's healed, they're not doing anything. So you can take them out if they're problematic. Yes.
But otherwise, they stay in there.
They stay in, yeah. Most of them are titanium now. And the bone likes titanium, and they just stay in there. If they don't bother you, you don't bother it.
What's the most common foot and ankle injuries you get? I mean, what are they from? For the normal person.
Yeah, for the normal person. I see a lot of post-traumatic arthritis. So lots of us get hip and knee arthritis, and we just sort of develop it. It's just built into us sometimes. Ankle arthritis is very largely post-traumatic. So you have ankle sprains when you're a younger athlete. You pull off a little piece of bone here and there, and then you fast forward 50 years. That's post-traumatic arthritis. Or you have an ankle fracture. That becomes arthritis after injury. And so I see a lot of arthritis in the ankles and feet. And then I see deformity.
Okay, can I ask you just one thing about me?
I'm good. Yeah, please.
What?
Go ahead.
I mean, I come to your place. Dr. Eben took care of me for everything.
Yeah. He's great.
I got that bone spur that inflames my Achilles tendon. Could that bone spur come from the sprained ankles I had?
Not usually.
No, okay.
No, not usually.
Okay.
Let's get back on course.
A lot of people want to know about that, Jim.
But Dr. Ritt, tell me, sometimes old people, they break their hip.
Yes.
And then they die. Like they go to the hospital. What is there a correlation there?
Yeah, there's a strong correlation. The way to explain that is kind of the hip fracture for a lot of us, not for all of us. For a lot of us, as we age, is sometimes an indicator of decline. And so it is not that this hip fracture
is the cause
of mortality. It's an indicator of decline. And so they have this big surgery and then they have a big recovery.
All right.
And it is difficult to recover from that.
If everything's declining, that's okay.
Yes, you got
this
it.
This guy's awesome.
We got to have him back.
Yeah, can you come back in next week? I mean, seriously, we're just scratching the surface. We want to talk to you. We want to give you like a long time.
I'm here.
Because these are things that everybody's common with.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, okay. That's right.
Bring your invoice pad for John.
Bring some of those screws next time.
I'll bring screws. I'll bring staples.
Yes.
It's awesome.
Oh, awesome. You'll love it. Dr. David Ruta. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Doc.
All righty, it's a Friday, and that means it's a free ticket Friday, your chance to win some cool stuff. With more details on it, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, it is a free ticket Friday. It's your chance to win a 4-pack of Brewer tickets for Tuesday, May 27th against Boston. Here's how you win.
All right, our key word today is radio. R-A-D-I-O, radio. So just download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Store. Choose WISS or WGBW and use the text button to send in the keyword radio to be entered into the statewide contest.
Once again, the keyword is radio. Text in before 8 o'clock for your chance to win tickets for the Boston Red Sox coming to town on Tuesday, May 27th.
I'll tell you what we're going to do because it's one of those days today and it's Friday. We'll open this up. You can text in all the way through the end of the show at 9 o'clock.
Oh,
how's that sound?
Extra hour.
All right.
That sounds fantastic.
Free ticket Friday with Mino and the mayor.
All right. Hey, welcome back. Special thanks to Dr. David Ruta, Bell and Sports Medicine. We're going to get him on
interesting
again.
Interesting guy, isn't he?
So interesting. Yeah. And that, I mean, I you had some injuries, right, Tim? How many?
22.
Wow. Did you ever have screws put in you?
I had screws in my heel, yeah. I got a fake hip. I got a hip replacement. I got Achilles tendon reconstruction.
You sporting some titanium?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's
some good metal.
Yeah, you do.
Seen it in somebody. He had this whole thing on his iPad thing. And to see the screws, I mean, it looks like a construction project, what they do.
It's carpenters on bone.
That's exactly
what they are.
But I've never seen that before. And it's like, wow.
The screws look like they're hardware screws.
They do.
It's just same thing. Yeah, in the old days, after you're dead, we just go pluck the gold out of the teeth there, the silver. Now, that titanium is.
Take that titanium.
Was that all from the military or sports?
Yeah, it was all military.
Because you're a football player too, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Tim Cody here in the house, Fox Valley Veterans Council. They take Memorial Day very seriously. In fact, not just Memorial Day, they take the whole weekend very, very seriously. I've been to all their events. It's incredible, based in Appleton. Tim, go ahead and give a little schedule. What you got going on, brother?
Sure, thanks. First thing we got coming up is Saturday morning at the Outagamie County Courthouse at 10 o'clock. We're going to do our memorial for the 50th anniversary of the end of the Vietnam War.
Yep.
So we do maintain a list of all those who have died for the nation of their country from the Civil War on. So we'll be reading the names from the Vietnam War era during that ceremony. It's a very poignant, short ceremony. There's no speeches.
And Tim, what's the region of the Because obviously you can't be everywhere in Wisconsin. So what's the area?
The area for the Fox Valley Veterans
Council? Of the names you're reading.
Oh, so that's just Outagamie County.
Right.
So it'll just be Outagamie County because we do Outagamie County. I asked us to put it on for
okay, them. I got to be honest with you. We were both at the event a couple of weeks ago at Jack Voigt's place right on Richmond Street where they had the breakfast and everything. And they've got that memorial up there with all the pictures of the deceased from Wisconsin. Outagamie County had a lot.
Yeah, we got about roughly 60, 65 who perished.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so what we'll do is we'll have everyone line up while bagpipes playing some really cool kind of somber haunting
music.
It's
a very cool, and the best part is when you ring the bell.
Yeah, well, we won't have the bell this time, okay. So we won't have the bell because that's a Navy thing, so we kind of move it around for different.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, okay. So we try to move it and have a different theme. So this theme is just is the Vietnam era theme, and participants, anybody can show up. Participants can show up. We'll give them a carnation as we read the names. They'll walk towards, we'll have a banner with the names on there that looks like the wall. And as the names are being read, they can lay a carnation down at the banner. And then at the end, we'll have a 21-gun salute and taps played.
It's really cool. It's really cool.
So it's just, it's very poignant ceremony. It gets right to the heart of what we're doing, which is Memorial Day for those who have died for their country. And it's fairly short. So, you know, if you're trying to get something in for that long weekend and, you know, people want to go up north and do all of this stuff, but they have to remember why we have this weekend.
And not only that, but they'll enjoy their day more.
Yeah.
I just say that all the time when he gives a ton of talks on Memorial Day and so did I. It's important that you as a dad take your kids to this, and they'll enjoy the day more, and it becomes a tradition. And so many of these things are in the morning. I don't know what time is this?
It's at 10 o'clock.
Okay, we have something here at Vietnam Day at 8 o'clock, which, I mean, come on.
Behind the Neville?
Yeah.
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 So a couple other things going on, too.
Yeah, but, you can get it done, and boom, you're ready to go.
Right, and you paid your respects and honor it. That's okay.
Well, but if there's no wasted time.
There's no wasted time. Like I said, it's not speeches. You don't have to worry about a politician. Yeah. Talking what? Or anything else. Yep. No, don't need to worry about any of that.
I got one second. I want to divert from that. Did you see they pulled that kid's award, that valedictorian, because he went too long on his speech?
Oh.
Yeah, principal's like, give that back. So his medal, they took his medal back after that.
Wow.
Yeah. Guy went too long.
Crappy.
Yeah. That was.
Wow.
I don't know. Was it?
Well,
you'd love to pull our title too. Us politicians, we get up there, we go off script. Well, of course, you sports guys do that a lot too.
All the time. Tim Cody, our very special guest, Fox Valley Veterans Council. Okay, that's tomorrow.
Saturday morning. No.
Yep, Saturday morning. Yep, Saturday. That's tomorrow. Right?
And then what else is going on in the county?
Yeah, so the Scarlet Guard is going to be going to cemeteries in the Outagamie area, and they're going to be laying wreaths.
Yep.
On there, and then Monday we'll be taking the Wall of Honor, and which is all those who have died in Outagamie County for their service from the Civil War on, and we've created a very large memorial that's draped over 18-wheeler truck, donated by Great Northern Corporation, and Fast Signs is the one who made the tarp for us, and they hang it on there, and then that's always the last. That's the last vehicle in the procession.
And it's really just cool.
Shout out to those sponsors. That GNC is a great company.
Man. Yeah, GNC, a great company. They have the tractor has photos of veterans in the area. Yeah. And so they even took one of my photos, which is really cool. And smoked a cigar on Saddam Hussein's palace.
I have never seen a picture of you in action back then.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, I got tons of them.
Yeah. I got to check that out.
That's awesome.
And then, you know, Fast Signs, they made it and they hang it. Which is actually a very delicate process because you're not allowed to step on top of those 18-wheeler truck trailers. Yeah.
And where do we witness that? Tell me.
So that's in starting in downtown Appleton.
Okay.
And it goes down College Avenue and then Jigs and Jags to Riverside Cemetery.
Nice.
And then Monday?
That is Monday.
That's Monday.
Or that is Monday.
That's Monday's doing that.
Okay. But one of the things that with the ceremonies that you guys have in Outagamie County, you guys do a nice job of recognizing, and like you said, all the people from Outagamie County. The Civil War.
Yeah.
People don't realize we lost people in the Civil War here.
Lots of people.
Lots of people. Yeah, yeah. I think that's fascinating.
We kind of lost the most, right?
Yeah.
But and the Civil War.
Was it the old Abe? Was that the old Abe Brigade or something where they had the eagle?
They were part of the Black Hats, the Iron Brigade.
Oh, the Iron Brigade.
Iron Brigade, yeah.
I we don't talk a lot about the Civil War.
No, I mean, just
the country doesn't. But that's pretty cool that you have those names.
And you real and you saw that. It's like, holy crap, yeah, I didn't know cool. Wisconsin played, you know, yeah, locally right here, played such a part in the Civil War.
Yeah, the Iron Brigade is probably the most famous Union unit. It was famous, obviously, that they called the Iron Brigade because it stood a significant charge. It got very famous in Chancellorsville and Gettysburg. Most casualties. They also called them the Black Hats. They wore these black, kind of almost like top hats at the time. The Civil War is fascinating.
I know.
If you love history.
But you always read about the South and Gettysburg. You forget these were local kids right here. Well,
and Americans fighting Americans, too, which is really weird. That's that war.
Very tragic.
It was.
But very needed, obviously.
Yeah, some those people in the South, you got to remind them we won. You know?
I had a friend in law school, African-American, and we were having a constitutional discussion over the stars and bars and the rebel flag and whether it should be allowed or not allowed.
Yeah.
And he was the only African-American kid in that class. And the professor, he sat right next to me. We both had played football. And he was sitting right next to me, and the professor said, well, Eric, what do you think about, you know, that? And he goes, that just tells me someone's dumb enough to stand up there and go, look at me, I'm 0-1.
That's right.
You know, I'll tell you what, though. I got a good buddy who's probably listening, Ronnie Umentum, when he was in Vietnam, and they had a kid from Kentucky who flew the rebel flag. Remember he told the story on the air?
Yeah.
And he asked Ronnie, hey, say, if we fought again, who do you think would win? He goes, what do you mean? He goes, North against the South. South would win this time. He goes, no, Ronnie, no, they wouldn't, because we got the industry, we've got the whatever. Right. We'd kick your ass.
Yeah,
again.
I mean,
he said he pulled out his M16. They had to get him out of the company. He was so mad about it. Say it again. Yeah. Say it again. The South lost.
Yeah,
they had to get him out of there.
But you got to admit, he's not the only one down there. But we got to move.
Well, I love the Civil War one because I think it's a time when everything from privates to general officers and politicians wrote long, detailed letters to their folks at home and things. And so you have that encapsulated.
That's cool.
And you can read these letters. I mean, from what you would think would be uneducated folks, they're writing home and they're talking about, you know, the food, the medical care, how boring it is, along with the tragedy and everything else. But I loved it because for so many years, I thought it was a great teaching point to the world on how a country could heal itself over a tragic sin that we had been committing, and then a tragic event to stop that sin, and the wounds that were opened and the history that was required to fix that. And I remember being in Europe and people talking about, they couldn't believe that, you know, there was all of this replaying the battles and people being Southern supporters and people being Northern supporters. And you know, that was a time when we were, I would say, getting along a lot better in our country. But I used to use that to the Europeans as a great example of how free speech works and how it heals, and that both sides could talk and kind of honor. I mean, clearly, you know, there was a sin that we were fixing in that war, right? Just an unpardonable sin of slavery. But, you know, they're still your brothers and sisters in the country,
right? That's
and my point. And we had to heal, and I thought we were doing that very well, and I think we've kind of tried to reopen some of those wounds again. But
I want to go back to the letters, because you read those letters and you know the greeting, you know, my dearest Charlotte, that would be like, hi babe.
Well, there's a comedian that does thing, and my dearest Charlotte, how thy heart is, you know, weary and blah blah blah. Is that another kid wrote one from memory? Dirko, it is hotter than bleep out here. My bleep are sweating like you can't bleep and bleep.
I agree. Anyway, that's nice that you're right. It does encapsulate from their perspective, which I think is the best perspective, really.
Tim Cody, Fox Valley Veterans Council, Memorial Day ceremonies coming up, of course, this weekend. Tim, how's our nation, how's our local area in remembering Memorial Day weekend as something to commemorate and not celebrate?
That's kind of a good point. When I talk to people, I don't want to take their lovely 3-day weekend or 4-day weekend away from them, right? All I just tell them is you just need to do something to commemorate why you're having this weekend.
Yeah.
Right? That's kind of why I like that ceremony on Saturday because it's a half an hour long.
Right.
It doesn't take a huge commitment, but it's powerful.
That's just good.
The point is powerful.
One hell of a half hour.
Yeah. I think there's tons of stuff going on. It actually can be challenging for groups like us because we're all competing against each other to get people to come to our events.
I want to underscore that what you just said about there's a lot of things going on. I mean, I just remember sometimes speaking at 4 or 5 events in that day at different times. So there's no excuse not to show your respect.
Right.
And you said some of these are 8 a.m. The one that we have here on the water that from the United Patriarch Society is at 4 p.m. Well, that could be cool too.
Yeah.
You got to do something.
I'm doing an event tonight in Freedom, which is really cool. At 6:30, the Wagons with the caissons leave, and they have the band is out there doing the cadence. Not a sound. It's awesome.
Yep.
That starts at 6:30 in Freedom this afternoon. I'll be up there. We got to stick around. Tim Cody, Fox Valley Veterans Council. More coming up right after this. From the mountains down to the sea, you've become such a habit with me. America,
America. You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, let's do it again. It's a free ticket Friday and a shot to win a 4-pack of Brewers tickets for the game Tuesday, May 27th. The Brew Crew taking on Boston. The keyword this morning is radio, R-A-D-I-O, radio. If you haven't done so already, I don't know why you haven't, but download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google store. Choose WISS or WGBW. Use that text button. Send the keyword radio right now to be entered in the statewide contest. Again, it's radio. You've got till 9 o'clock this morning to text in the word radio for your shot to win. And again, you help out Jim and John when it comes to the contest within Civic Media. So
Tuesday, May 27th against the Red Sox.
Yeah.
You help us out as much as Todd helped us out because he read the whole thing.
Thank you, Todd.
Todd figured you guys were busy.
All right.
Tim Cody, Fox Valley Veterans Council Memorial Day Ceremony. Tim, one thing, and this is all great with the ceremonies and all these things, but what have you done like individually behind the scenes that people probably don't know about to help families who have lost someone? And I know that's a big part of your job, and I know you guys try to stay fairly very private in regards to, the people that you help. So I'm not asking for names or anything like that, but some of the things that you guys do that maybe people don't think about, especially this time of year, that we could do for those Gold Star families.
Are you asking kind of like what the council does?
You do both. I mean, let's be honest. You work for the council, but you're how many year veteran?
28 years.
28 years. So, I mean, this is your family. Let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean, the first and most important thing is there to be there for them. Okay. So, for example, we had a member of the council, veteran couple, and the wife had died from breast cancer. And we'd actually helped them earlier. They were a struggling couple trying to be entrepreneurs, and we'd helped them in our assistance program. And they'd grown their business and everything else. And then tragically, mother of two children and a veteran and very young couple. And she succumbed to breast cancer. The most important thing for us was to be there for the husband and the kids, just be there physically and emotionally for them. We can assist with funeral services and things like that, which can become very expensive. Sometimes we are able to relate with our veterans that other people can't.
What I mean.
And I'm not saying that, you have to be a veteran to do that, because you don't have to be. But there are sometimes that veterans, they just want to talk to somebody who shared their own experience. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it helps that you have shared that experience, just to be there. And so they understand, just to be a listening ear. To be there. And also, sometimes it also gives you a little bit of validity let's tragedy has happened. Let's pull our bootstraps up. Let's keep going.
And one of the reasons I asked that, I had somebody I talked to last week. I was talking about Memorial Day, where I was going to be and everything like that. And he said, I'm going to go put a wreath and a flag on my buddy. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, that's going to just, because he committed suicide, but that war killed him.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with him.
Yeah, I mean, it can be.
He's a casualty of war in this case.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we don't think about that sometimes.
No, I mean, you know, I mean, there are lots of soldiers who come back with the mental scars. And, you know, you face some pretty, you can face some pretty, pretty nasty stuff, and everybody can deal with it in their own way. On top of that, you're taking whatever baggage you had with you when you went in, and you're also having baggage when you come out. So it's not just the service, you know, it's the person as a whole. And everybody is individual. But yeah, you know, some of that stuff can just, can really haunt some people, and that's tough when that occurs. It's tough to heal somebody in that way, because, you know, it's not something we can point to. It's not a virus we can give a right. inoculation to. It's not a bone we can mend. It's a haunting thing that's bouncing around in their noggin, yep. right? And how do you erase that, or how do you get them to deal with it in a really healthy way? It's different for everybody. That, I mean, that's the thing that we found. There's no one way to treat it, you know? And so every person is so different. And to be understanding, to be there for them, to listen to them, and also try to lift them. And however way that is, whether that means you're kicking them in the ass a few times, or whether that means you're holding them up, you know, giving them some confidence when nobody else is, however that, you know, can work, that's what we got to do for our veterans.
The veterans, and I want to talk about just the public at large. And you said it's good, it's not great in terms of knowing what they should know and showing the respect they should show. I don't know that you said exactly that, but this is my question. How are we doing? You're very plugged into this. How are we doing in our educational system to making sure this stuff is learned? Like, is it being...
You know, I don't feel overly competent because I'm not in... the history classes listening to it. I get to go talk to schools,
right,
and that's really cool. My take is that it, you know, war has always been like one of the favorite things for history because yeah. it's so dramatic. It's right. got so much action, you know, it's like drama on TV, real life, right? But it's also terrible. I mean, there's lots of other great things in history other than people killing each other. And so sometimes I think that, even though that's been a focus over years, I think nowadays there may be a tendency not to dwell on those areas because violence is you know, traumatic to people. I mean, I've had teachers say that, well, I don't want to get any triggers on these, you know, 13 or 14 year old students learning about battles and wars. I'm like, okay. I don't know. You know, I mean, there's got to be
Seen a video game these days?
Right. That's...
You know, I think if we teach it, you know, we teach it, one, the purpose, we teach the reasons, we teach the mistakes and why we got in or how we got out. But more importantly than anything, the people that we ask to sacrifice is the most important thing to talk about, because they have put their trust in their government hands to serve their nation.
And there are people, they're from Appleton and
they're our neighbors.
They're our neighbors.
Tim Cody, one more time. Tim, what time tomorrow morning?
10 a.m. Ottawa County Courthouse.
Fantastic event. Fantastic yeah. event. Very solemn, very quiet. You guys do a great job yeah. with that.
Thank Dude, you.
Thanks Appreciate for it. Everything you do for all of our veterans around here. You do a phenomenal job. Box Valley Veterans Council.
Far, we've been traveling far. Without a home. But not without a star.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.